This episode was streamed live November 18th, 2022. Surprise!
Hi!
We are live! Yes! Guys, I'm so excited. Belle and I reconnected after 18 months, we figured out. It's been about eight since March 2021. And she came on the show to talk about Awkward is the New Brave, and that was her book. She has written another book, and it is going to be released on the 22nd of November. And look at that. She has it in her hot little hands. It's called The Words the Caterpillar Ate.
Correct.
Fantastic. Now, Belle is also a TEDx speaker. She's a transformation specialist. She's a mom of four in a blended family. And like I said, she wrote this new book, The Words the Caterpillar Ate, which I had a sneak peek at today. Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. Do you feel like a meditation failure? I know I did until I tried the iOS Breath and Heart app put together by the good people over at the Institute for Applied Meditation. I kept hearing about the benefits of meditation and was frustrated because I just couldn't sit there noticing my breath for any length of time. Thank goodness there's more than one type of meditation. I'm so glad this worked for me. Will it work for you? I don't know. Download the app and try it out. Breath and Heart. From I Am Heart. And it is such a fun read. Now, she talks about going on a word diet. Oops. Or maybe it's an edit. And it's really a good idea. I mean, I just was like, I love that because I was like, oh, it's the same, you know, and you even point out it's the same letters. But tell us what you were thinking. Actually, what do we title it? We titled the episode Redefining Menopause, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So when, like probably after 2021, like after we caught up, I started having some major issues with my brain function, which I was not used to. My iron levels had tanked, my vitamin D had tanked, and I started getting right into perimenopause, which is a hoot. What can I say? And my brain functions really started being impacted. So my ability to make decisions or work out whether someone was making a joke or even my ability to concentrate. So it was like brain fog times 100, really, at certain points during my cycle where I could not think about things. And it really made me look at who I thought I was, because I had very much been of the mindset as everything. And like, you can kind of think your way through things. But when my brain function started being impacted, all of a sudden it was like, well, actually, no, mindset is not everything. If I don't have my health to the level that I need it to be at, especially when it comes to my brain function and my thought processes, because like for me, this is how I make my living. So not being able to speak or present or being in a group and all of a sudden feeling as though I had completely lost my words really challenged who I thought I was. So I started going and looking at, just like I had done with the word brave, I started looking at a lot of my own values and even things that the health profession was saying around how they would define health or what they thought my solution was, to start to unpack how identity forms what we've been fed by society about the aging process or any of the other labels that people may put on us that can actually hold us back from moving forward with our potential. So I wanted to really start to shift that and give people a toolkit that's based on my change background to kind of go, well, this is how you look at the words that you've been fed about yourself, and you start working out what is helpful in terms of who you want to grow into for this next phase of your life and what really needs a good old edit, so that you can write a description and start living and breathing a word that more fits you and your purpose, as opposed to thinking that you're limited because society or say a sector of the health profession or whoever it is has fed you their definitions of words. And I adore my GP. He's our family doctor. But he had said to me that perimenopause is going to go for like 10 years. And I just thought to myself, I don't know if I can handle the roller coasters and everything of what happens with your emotions for 10
and
years.
You were,
like it,
were you,
yeah.
Were you already on a roller coaster of emotions then in this perimenopause time?
Yeah,
I mean, what is
absolutely.
That like?
So I'm still technically in perimenopause, but I would find myself crying on the floor of the bathroom because I didn't know how I was going to cope with everything going on. There would be days where I would be having a conversation with my friend and driving my car, and this is partly due to my iron levels being really low, perimenopause, and my vitamin D being really low as well. And I couldn't concentrate on her conversation and be present as a good friend and focus on driving my car at the same time. So she's thinking, what is she doing? She's not paying attention to me. But it actually wasn't that. It was just my brain could only focus on what it needed to do at that point in time. So my productivity was being impacted in that space as well. And then I would also experience severe migraines, which I'd never suffered from during my life before. There were points when I would be facilitating workshops earlier on in the piece where I would get super hot in a room, and I thought it was just me. And I would ask everyone else, I'm like, oh, you all really hot in here? And they're like, no, we're all good. And I'm like, must be because I'm moving around, not realizing that was a really early sign. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't talked about. My mother is no longer, like, she hasn't been alive since I was 19. So I really had no idea what was happening to me. And it was only from kind of having a few conversations with some other women going, oh, like, I'm not sure what's going on with my brain. Like, I feel off, and I couldn't figure it out. So it started to impact self-confidence, and you start to feel like maybe you're done or you've missed your shot or something. And mm-hmm. I had one female female friend who'd been through a program with me, and she had said that she was misdiagnosed with depression, and she found out later on that she was actually going through perimenopause because her hormones were impacted so much. So she
wow.
said, you need, like, just make sure that you keep pushing for yourself. There's a lady, I'm going to miss her name, but the name of her book is called See You Later, Ovulator. And she's like really big on, I love the title. She's really big on self-advocacy and really pushing for, you know, your own self and having a look at things. So she just released something over on Instagram the other day that said menopause and that whole cycle for women wasn't even really taught in medical school for a lot of people. So there's this big knowledge gap.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds me of the books I read about nutrition and finding out doctors got like a whole 4 hours of nutrition schooling. I'm wondering how many hours it was for menopause. I mean, that would be very interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But so when you were feeling all of the fog and your body is changing, all of this is happening.
Oh.
I mean, you wrote Awkward is the New Brave. And, you know, now it's the caterpillar. Wait, the caterpillar ate your words. No, the words the caterpillar ate.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it right. What was it like finding bravery during brain fog?
During brain fog. I think for me, through this period, bravery really looked like a new level of humility to kind of go, well, actually, what you thought about the world or about yourself is not quite right. And now you need to look for a different solution. So it's about almost finding that internal bravery to kind of go, actually, I'm not okay. I've been brave and resilient through other things in my life. So whether it's through grief and loss or putting myself back out there, but this was a whole new ballgame for me, like in terms of the impact on the brain function and on my body as well. So I gained, I'm just trying to work out the American equivalent. I gained something like close to 40 pounds within a really short period of time, even though I was still exercising and I was still eating, but just nothing was working. So I started to be a bit harder on myself. So that bravery word really started shifting more into looking at how can I be humble with my bravery and mm-hmm. say, well, no, this isn't right. I appreciate and respect the medical profession and what they're saying, but I'm going to not eat everything that I've been served up in this scenario. And I started looking for people who had definitions or who were actually living a little bit differently. So I started following a lot of naturopaths. So I work with a holistic, this is a lot of alliteration, a holistic hormone health coach. Her name's Laura. She's based over in the US, and just her knowledge in terms of what she talks about with what happens with your levels and how they can impact women and what happens during your cycle and the importance of working to balance your hormones for not only just for brain function, but also for your overall health, how important that is, and making some changes. So I was probably more of a cardio person for a certain period of my life, and that's not what I do anymore because it doesn't work anymore. So I think mm-hmm. it's really about being brave in that next level of transformation to kind of go, it's like aging is okay, like because there's definitely a message that happens out on social media, and I just even think in terms of advertising and marketing that youth is so revered that we don't always celebrate wisdom.
Right. Well, that reminds me of the woman in Canada, the news anchor woman, I think, that let her hair go gray. And then someone asked who approved that? And then she was fired. And then I think the Wendy's Corporation turned all Wendy's hair gray in Canada. You know, but what was the most surprising thing you learned about yourself so far in this journey?
That my core identity is still there, right? So adventure is one of my core values. I talk about this in the book, but how I live and breathe that value now is different. So I think sometimes we can operate off old versions of ourselves, right? So you may want to be holding on to your 20-year-old dream or your 20-year-old definitions, and my mid-40 body just cannot operate that way anymore. It's had wear and tear. That's the reality of it, right? So adventure now looks a lot more like doing like amazing hikes. I went and did a hike with a group of friends to raise funds for a mental health organization here called Beyond Blue, and that was a 35-kilometer hike. So in miles, I think it's around about 22 miles, like in one day, like along the coast. Wow. So I would rather live out that definition of adventure looking like that. So it's now a healthy definition where I have my body intact and I'm not launching myself off giant water slides or accidentally doing myself injuries, where the recovery time for me right now is longer. So I think it's just learning to tweak and like keep who you are, but allow those parts of you to evolve and let go of the words that you may have been fed that no longer fit. And whether it's, so I think that's important, whether it's around what success needs to look like for this phase of your life. And if you're being fed a definition of, well, if you're over 40, then you're done, then start looking for those women who have just done the most amazing things later in life and start chasing down those examples.
Yeah,
so that
I mean,
you
you're
see
in
the possibility.
Oh, yeah. And you're in Australia. And I was just watching the Chris Hemsworth Limitless and in the strength episode, because he's from Australia somewhere over there. I know this much. But there's an 85-year-old woman teaching yoga, and she had been a bodybuilder and all of these great things. I mean, you know, I think, you know, a lot of what you're saying of going through this journey is reminding me of my journey with a disability and learning the new. That's why it's like, what did you learn? How did you learn it? What, you know, you reached out to a specialist is what you said. I mean, these are big things. And I love that you said about yourself that at your core, you have that adventure.
Yeah.
And that's important to you.
It is.
Yeah. And so what, you know, what did you somehow turn this into? Like, oh, okay, I'm on a new adventure? Or how did you use that word adventure?
Oh, that's a great question. So I may have done that subconsciously. So it may have been adventure in the pursuit of new information, really, and to go against the norm, I guess, if you want to use that, or what people tend to say is a bit of a given. So I wanted to really embrace critical thinking and look at what the available information is and kind of go, well, what are the questions that they haven't asked, or what are the things that they haven't studied, or what's the, you know, which are the areas that they haven't actually explored? Because I think for women as we age, I can't speak for men, I'm obviously not a man, but for women as we age, there seems to be this big knowledge gap around visibility and aging process for us. And so I'm a like Generation X. The messaging that we had when we were like, when I was growing up, was children should be seen and not heard. And I don't necessarily know that as a young child, I had lots of examples of women who were older and doing amazing things. So now all of a sudden you're like, okay, so how do we become that example and start to show people what's possible and do it in a way that you're not going to break yourself in the process? I think that's important. So
then was gentleness part of that process too?
Yes, because I tend to be a person who wants it. Like, I do think we live in a society where it's like instant gratification, and I do like to like have things now, or I want my solution to happen fast. And I've had to be a lot more patient with myself, especially on the hormone front, because it wasn't like I could just take something and everything would be balanced overnight. I've had to be patient, and it took, even with the iron infusions, it took a couple months for everything to kick in and for me to start feeling like myself again, to like an older version, but like it took a while for that to set in. So patience has definitely played a role. And I think that's something that I'm learning as I go through all of this, is to trust in the process and to not rush it, and that it's okay for things to take time, that you don't have to go at the same rate as everybody else.
And I think for yourself too, right?
Yeah.
Like, because you are a mover. My perception of you, whether right or wrong, is that I'm going to get this done, I'm going to do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Like,
yes.
This is just going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, that was the dog in the background. And I have my lovely husband delivering coffee.
Oh, how sweet. Hi, honey.
So I think embracing those challenges, whether it's with your career or your health or your relationships, and looking at, so what do I want these things to mean to me next? How am I going to live and breathe them? And it's okay to go at my own at my own pace, not compare myself to everybody else, is really like really important. So
yeah.
In the book, I love a metaphor. It's part of how I write. So in the book, I talk about butterflies, even the same species of butterflies, when they go into chrysalis, they don't necessarily all emerge at the same time. So they will only go through emergence when the environment is right. It's part of their mechanism to survive. So for example, if they've gone into chrysalis a little bit too late and then winter kicks in, they will actually stay in there until the weather warms up again and they can emerge.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is really cool. And there's good lessons for humanity in that you don't have to emerge at the same rate as everybody else. It's okay for you to wait until your environment is right.
Wow. That's just got me thinking. How did you reconcile that, though? You know, you're in the middle of this mess. I don't know if it's a mess, but to me, I'm thinking,
it feels a mess some days. It sure feels a mess some days.
Like, how did you reconcile with yourself after being such a mover and a shaker that it's okay to come out when it's time? I don't have to push so hard.
Honestly, it takes time. It still takes me time. So I still get this want to push. So it's just to catch myself in those moments. And trust has become a big word for me to now explore and look at, and trusting in that process and trusting my path ahead and being excited about the future instead of feeling like there's some trepidation around things. And, you know, I do worry. So my mother, and I know this plays in the back of my mind a little bit, my mother died when she was 49. So I'm one year and 1 month off that age, right? So that does play a little bit around wanting to make it to 50. But I've got to trust that everything will be okay. So when I started looking at this word trust, and I guess I love looking at lots of different words, I'm like, well, I've forgiven all of these things in my life, but have I actually repaired that word trust? Like, can I fully trust what I do not know?
And can what I does that trust, mean?
For me, it's like, can I fully trust God would be what I would say. And can I fully, like, go all in and be okay with not knowing and just trust that if things are going to, like, if I'm going to end up like a New York Times bestseller, awesome. If not, things will, like, I will still be okay. It's not going to be the end of me or the end of my purpose or anything like that. So,
yeah. So for you, trusting, because it is trusting that you're taking each step in the order that you are supposed to take it for you, and knowing that if the outcome is that you're a best time seller, fantastic. If not, you're still going to be okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is so hard.
It is. But I think that was a lesson from my first book, Awkward as a New Brave, too, where when I'd gone to have a conversation with a key person in my life about abuse that had happened early, I had to be okay no matter what the outcome was. So if I asked that question on will you have this conversation and they say no, I had to have peace with that. And I think that same lesson now happens. Like, if I go forward and write this book, and obviously I want amazing things for the book, am I okay with any outcome no matter what it is, and making peace with, almost like making peace with the future so that you can stay in the present, I think is something that's important. And trusting that I will emerge when I'm meant to emerge. And you know, maybe I already have. So that's okay.
So making peace with the future so you can be present in the moment.
Yeah.
That is hard to, for me in my mind, to I don't think I could articulate to someone what that really means or what the steps I might take to get there. What can you do that yourself? Are there certain steps that you take to stay in the present?
Yes, I think so. I still think that you can. So it's not to say that you don't have a plan for your future or anything like that. But I think if you look at your values, so your core values, and even, like, I talk about core values and foundational values. So foundational being things that I feel are important to all humanity. So things like security and health and connection and purpose, and there'll be another one thrown in there too that I'm missing right now. But if you think of those foundational values, what do they need to look like for you now? And then your core values, so things like adventure for me, is how am I going to live that out? So is it something that is an everyday value for me? And it may be in terms of pursuit of knowledge or being adventurous with seeking out new information, like the example that you'd asked me about. Or it might be going for a surf when the weather permits and kind of going, well, that's part of who I am. But I know that for me, the amount of joy in life is not as high if I don't have access to adventure.
So is it using that adventure and just having this trust? I guess we're using all these words now.
Yeah, I know. There's so many, like, words.
It's fantastic, though, because these are words we've talked about. So trusting that the future will be what it will be, and that you also need that adventure and that break and that peace. So that allows you to be present with yourself and what you need in that moment. So if you need to go surf, then you surf. If you're sensing that feeling, was there ever a point, or how did you give yourself permission to do that, especially as you're going through the brave, or not the through the perimenopause, or you know, you're doing the brain fog. That was what I was trying to, because you're beating yourself up a little bit, it seems like.
That's right. Yeah. So brain fog for that phase was definitely beating myself up a little bit. And I think I had to be okay around, or not really okay, but accept that I was in this deconstruction phase, right, of kind of going through the mess, and I was in the mess, like that messy middle. So I think sometimes with transformation, people love to love the before and afters, right? Because it's like, oh, this is what it looks like, and now look over here. So whether you're renovating a house or whatever you're doing, you just see, you see the before and the after, but you don't see the blood, sweat and tears that sits in the middle, right? So whether it's whether it's the mental work that you're doing, or whether it's physical work that you're doing, or whether it's, you know, visual work that you're doing in a space, they don't see that messy middle part. And I wanted it to be okay to have permission to say, it's all right. I'm right now, I'm figuring things out, and that's where I'm at, and that's okay. And that's, I think that's the important permission part, to be okay with the mess, be okay with the mess a little bit.
Yep. It's because it seems like almost there's this point where you have like the choice to become okay living in the I don't know world, because with everything before, just knowing, just from interviewing you a couple times now, thinking that if I do X, Y, and Z, this will be the outcome, and I'll be okay with the outcome. But now you're in this place where it's like you couldn't accomplish X, Y, and Z, and you had to trust that it would still, the outcome would still happen on some level.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
While you're in this terrible mess.
Yes. While you're sitting in this mess, it's like I've got to trust that there's a way through. Like. But that's it. And that is why I do draw those big parallels through the life cycle of the caterpillar. Like when it goes into, like everyone knows what a caterpillar looks like. Like it's quite easy to see them hopping around. Yeah. And then when you move into the chrysalis phase, or when they go in into the chrysalis, no one can, unless you cut them open, which I think is cruel, you can't see the mess that's sitting inside, right? Because they are completely deconstructing, and in that same process, they're reconstructing. So they have, I did a lot of research on butterflies and caterpillars while I was writing this book. They have these little things called imaginal discs, which basically help in them emerging as the butterfly. And the same, I think, happens for us. So we have these core values that are innate to us, or these talents that are innate to us, and it's around learning how we adapt and shift and come out the other side. So we're not losing who we are, but we are evolving how we are, I guess.
And I love the idea of what is happening in the chrysalis, because it's a gooey design. It's no clear lines. It's gooey. No. It's messy. It's kind of disgusting if you cut it open, right?
Like, yeah. And it's the crying on the bathroom floor stuff, like that. That's it. Where your closest people get to see you in that gooey, messy state.
So, yeah. What was that like for you to let them see you in that messy state?
Horrible. But I had to. I think it shows you what love looks like. Like real love looks like, for whether it's through friendship or relationship, whatever type it is, but you get to see what love looks like through that for yourself, that gentleness for yourself that you have, and what other people have for you as well. So it's very humbling process to go through, that's for sure.
Most definitely. Okay, we are almost up, but I wanted to ask you if you had three tools or tips, which I am certain you do.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I do it. I do it for all of these women who are in their chrysalis phase.
Okay. So I think the chrysalis phase is such an important one for reflection, where it's to start to explore any of the words that you have been fed about yourself or about the world, and whether it's what success looks like, or what love or wisdom looks like, or what security looks like, any of those important words to you. It's such a good opportunity to explore your values and your language in that phase, and then to think about how would you like to live them when you are through that phase, and what's important to you in terms of support. So your environment, thinking about people that you might need to set boundaries with, whether you need to set boundaries with yourself. And one of those may be, if you identify as like a strong woman, or you've been raised that way, and I identify that way. How do you ensure that strong still has that boundary so that you allow yourself to be soft and vulnerable, so that you don't feel as though you're going to become hard, so that you can keep those other elements of yourself? So I think that's really important to do in that phase, is to, you know, really treat it as exploration, and that it's not a space to give up, because then you stay in that mess space and trust that you'll come out of it. But I think the introspection that you can do while you're in there is incredibly valuable.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad I got to have you on the show today. I just want to say hi to Jan, who put in the chat.
Hi, Jan. Loves me.
Yeah, he's awesome. Love that, being okay in an I don't know world, you know, and that's that chrysalis phase. We don't know what we're going to come out looking like. And that's why, I mean, even in the book, Right Out the Gate, which is available the 22nd, and where's it going to, but Right Out the Gate in the book, I mean, I feel like there was such a huge connection to the metaphorical way that you were writing the book. And it was so entertaining to read the pages that I got to read, because I only got to take a sneak peek this morning. But it's anyway, so, but tell everyone, where can they get The Words the Caterpillar Ate? Can they pre-order it? All of the good stuff.
Yes, so you can get it at all the good bookstores. If you want to head over to my site, bellelockerbie.com/books, you will find links to the major retailers there. So it's available on Amazon, Kindle, Apple iBook, Topia. Where else have we got? I'm trying to think. Barnes & Noble, anywhere that you want to purchase it, whether you're looking to get an ebook version, which will download on the 22nd, or you're wanting to get a paperback. And I do know that Amazon, or somewhere in the chain of things, books have been released early. So I'm just trusting that the people who get them early need to read them early. So great little gift for Thanksgiving or for Christmas as well. And it really is about helping you understand yourself and others, and really grow that level of understanding for where you are at or where someone else is at. And that's part of why I wrote it, is to help navigate that space.
Yeah, that messy, messy time. So everybody, you can find Belle at bellelockerbie.com. She's also on Facebook. Wow. Facebook. No, it's Facebook. Hey there, Belle, Belle. And then on Insta, it's just Belle Lockerbie. So thank you so much for coming on this show today.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back.
It's been awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. And if there are any comments that pop on the replays, I'll be sure to pop on by and answer any questions as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you feel like a meditation failure? I know I did, until I tried the iOS Breath and Heart app put together by the good people over at the Institute for Applied Meditation. I kept hearing about the benefits of meditation and was frustrated because I just couldn't sit there noticing my breath for any length of time. Thank goodness there's more than one type of meditation. I'm so glad this worked for me. Will it work for you? I don't know. Download the app and try it out. Breath and Heart, from I Am Heart. Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. We really enjoyed talking to Belle about how she redefined menopause. We especially liked when she spoke about how sometimes it's not just mindset, but much, much more. To unite with other damaged people, connect with us on Instagram. Look for Damaged Parents. We'll be here next week, still relatively damaged. See you then.